We're in a series in this new year that we're calling the Year of the Spirit. We're in a series entitled The Holy Spirit in the Book of Acts. And so, although this is our third message in the series, and I haven't been going in total order, but we are today landing on the first verse of Acts chapter 2. This is the story of the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. It came when God opened the heavens and the Spirit of God came down upon 120 people. This is what it looked like. In fact, verses 1 through 4, will you read it out loud with me of Acts 2? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want to speak to you this morning on the question, me spiritual? May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Suppose I was to point somebody out to you. In fact, Pastor Hubert, will you stand again? There's Pastor Hubert in the front row where you can all see him. Say I was to just take you aside and point to Pastor Hubert and say, there's a spiritual guy. What would go through your mind? I hope all kinds of right things that are very true of Pastor Hubert. He looks and acts like Jesus. I don't know if his wife agrees, but I think he does. And things happen. God listens to him when he prays. I've seen him pray for people and healing and life coming. And you know what? And those are some of the good things about being spiritual. You can be seated. Say I asked somebody else to stand, though, and I pointed to them. And you had, because we do bring a lot of baggage around the label spiritual. You know, maybe if I was to point someone out to you and say, there's a spiritual person, maybe thoughts would come to your mind that aren't so positive, not like what I just said about Pastor Hubert. In fact, put at the top of your notes just three of many myths that we often have about quote-unquote spiritual people. Sometimes you hear, that person's a spiritual person. You know, mistakenly, sometimes we just think of the word weird. They're just weird. Like, I remember having this conversation with a guy a few years ago. It's like, maybe as a pastor, he was trying to just impress me with his spirituality. I don't know. But I couldn't carry a conversation on with him. I asked him a question, like, how are you doing today? And he just stared off into space and stood there for a minute. And they looked back at me and said, fine. I go, okay, well, what are you going to do this week? And he kind of stared off into space and glassed over his eyes a little bit. And they looked back at me and said, well, I'm not sure yet. And I said, well, what are you doing? Why, every time I ask you a question, do you stare off into space? He said, well, I don't dare say anything until I've listened for what God tells me to say. Now, I want to say, there is a place to, you know, waiting on God for His voice. But in the Bible, that never happens in a casual conversation. I mean, folks, that's just plain weird. You know, being spiritual is not like hyper-mystical weird. Where it's like, Earth to Bob, we come in, Bob. Yoo-hoo. Or sometimes we think emotional, spiritual. That's a spiritual person. Oh, man. Every spiritual person I've known is really emotional. They're always feeling things. And sometimes sometimes when they really get, they almost get like, hysteric. I mean, I'm just not wired that way. My feelers shut down for two-thirds of the week, you know. Does that mean, you know, I must not be very spiritual? Because sometimes we think spiritual people are just very emotional. Or sometimes it's just, you know, they're just out of touch. Just out of touch. Like, what planet do they live on? I mean, do they really put their pants on one leg at a time? And we get this idea that spiritual people kind of live in this mystical realm that means they're just not really out of touch with hardcore life. And we don't like that. That's pretty spooky. And it doesn't seem very relevant. In fact, sometimes people we call spiritual will walk right past people that are starving to death. I mean, they'll be just oblivious to the needs that Jesus wants them to meet. And so we think, you know, spiritual, I don't know if I'm into being spiritual if you just sort of are so in, out of touch with everything around you. But that's what I love about the very first verse we just read, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. It says that there's this group of people. In fact, let's just read it one more time. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The they in that verse is described in the previous chapter. We're told there was about 120 of the theys. And there were 11 of the 12 of Jesus' closest followers, his disciples. And we know, I mean, half of them were fishermen. They were not necessarily emotional, weird, out-of-touch people. They're just ordinary guys. And we're told that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Isn't that interesting? I mean, she wasn't weird or out of it or mystical till she was spooky. She was an ordinary lady, Mary, the mother of Jesus, with the favor of God on her life. And we're told that some of his half-brothers, some of Mary's other sons, were there as well. Just ordinary people, grew up in Nazareth. The only thing that seems common about all these 120 people is they were common. Abraham Lincoln once said, God must love common people. He made so many of them. He was just common people. And you know what? And they weren't in some spooky place. They were just all together in one place. They were in a real time. They were somewhere, probably this upper room. Some scholars say maybe because it was around nine in the morning, maybe they had gone to the temple for prayers. But wherever this place was, they were in a real place at a real time. It was a holiday. It was the feast day on the Jewish calendar of Pentecost, and it was a real time, a real day, a real place, real ordinary people, nothing out of touch with reality. And yet what happens next is that God dumps heaven on them, and something that is not the product of introspection, meditation, or navel gazing happens. This was not the ultimate actualization of your inner self. This was something completely apart from any of them. It's like the Spirit of God came down upon them. Jesus said, wait. He told them to wait. He said, don't go and try to do anything for me until you are, in his words, clothed with power from on high. In other words, there's going to be before and after. There was a moment when I did not have my jacket on this morning, and then a moment I clothed myself with my jacket. He said, there's going to be a before and after. The before picture, you're not going to have something. You can't navel gaze it. You can't introspect it. You can't conjure it up. It's just not in you. But there will come a moment afterwards by which there will be something upon you and clothing you that wasn't there before. And it's not something from inside of you. It's something from heaven. Said, in fact, they heard a rushing mighty wind from heaven. That means from God, from outside of them, that came upon them. And what it means to be spiritual, God's way, authentically, begins to happen here. Not with weird, emotional, out-of-touch people, but very real people like you and me. And yet they were clothed with power from on high. And as I begin to see what unveils in this scene, as three vivid things happen, very physical, vivid things happen, I begin to understand what authentically spiritual people have always known. I mean, what is it that authentically, not weird spiritual people, but authentically spiritual people, what is it that they know? Well, I get three hints from these very three very physical things that happen in this spiritual moment. First of all, there is wind. There is wind. Can you read verse 2 with me there? It says, suddenly, here they are, real people in a real place, in one place, 120 of them. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were standing. Well, I got a little man-made wind right here. Now, Jesus once said of the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God was like the wind. It's invisible. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But certainly, you see the evidence of invisible wind by what it acts on. That's why we put these red ribbons on here, because you can see that the wind makes those ribbons do something they weren't. They're just lying there lifeless at first when I turn the fan off. But then when you turn the fan on, that just takes on new animated life. Do you realize that the word for spirit in the New Testament, in the Greek language of the New Testament, and in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, means wind? That's what it means, spirit, wind, or breath, or breath. And here's what authentically spiritual people really understand. That first of all, our hearts were made to breathe God's life. Because this was the Spirit of God. Very physically, he said they could hear. It was a loud wind, and it filled the room they were in, this loud, rushing wind. He was God going, and breathing on them. This picture of breath. Do you realize that human beings can go for weeks without food and days without water, but you can only go moments without air, without breath. It is absolutely essential to all of life. I remember years ago asking the Lord, "Lord, what does your spirit really look like? I mean, what does the power of God really mean in my life?" I was in my last year of school, finishing up my PhD dissertation, cranking out calculations on ancient computers, and I was leading a ministry, a Bible study that grew to nearly 100 people. I was living in a household. I was single with 8 other guys that had come to Jesus recently, and I was praying with them and helping them in their Christian walk. And I was tired. I was working in the middle of the night. I was getting up at 6 in the morning to pray with the guys in my house and getting back from my office at 2 in the morning. I wasn't getting much sleep. I was exhausted. But I remember something beyond that happening. I remember I'd been asking the Lord, "Lord, where is your power in my life anyway? I mean, tangibly. Where's the tangible power of God?" And I remember sitting there one day at my office working in the lab, and I sensed like God turned the fan off. It was a strange experience. I've only had it once in my life. And I immediately began to think of all the things I had to do the next week. The all-student gathering I had to preach at the next Tuesday night. All these calculations we're having to run again. And what if they didn't come out right? And I got a deadline to get my dissertation published. And I began to think of all these guys that I was living with and how they were looking at me to be a spiritual leader for them. And I was thinking about my schedule. I was thinking about the lack of sleep I was getting. And I was thinking about all these things. And you know what? It's like I just felt crumpled. I felt like literally wind was knocked out of me. And, you know, sort of like the electricity that went off during our ice storm. I mean, you don't appreciate it till it's gone. That was exactly it. It's like God turned the fan off. And I didn't realize how much his power was like breath to me. It was just like I breathed constantly physically with my lungs. My heart was made to breathe spiritual air that literally gives you capacity and strength and supernatural influence that you could never have alone. And we're meant just to walk in this constantly. And it's like spiritual breathing. And God turned the fan off. And I began to feel something lacking that I'd always been used to being there. And then as the day went on, I sensed him turn that fan on again and say, "You know, Jim, just walking in my presence, just breathing my life, just being in fellowship with me all day. That's part of what the tangible power of God's all about. I'm just giving you wisdom. I'm going to give you what you need for next Tuesday night when you got to preach. I'm going to give you what you need as you crank out these equations on this ancient computer today. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you wisdom in every relationship you have and everything you're doing for your research in fluid mechanics and everything you're doing. Doesn't matter whether you categorize your life spiritual or unspiritual. Here's the breath of God." Now, I'm a great believer in having a time alone with God every day. I'm a great believer that you need to, like tonight's our membership class, that's 101 in our 201 class, we actually teach you how to spend a half hour alone with God, how to really begin to listen to God's voice and really meet with God alone. I think there's an important part of that. And I used to do that. My problem was that then I'd leave that time and I'd go into my own day saying, "Oh, I've already spent my time with God. Oh, glad I got that over with, you know, and got that in because I feel real guilty when I don't do it." And I've heard people say, you know, God will get you if you don't get your time with God. Finally realize that's sort of like saying, "I will breathe for a half hour in the morning when I get up. And that ought to be all the oxygen I need for the rest of the day." You see, what it means to walk in the Spirit is not just have your time alone with God. In fact, for people who just feel guilty, like I'm not disciplined enough to get my time alone with God every morning or every night, I like to say, before you try to spend an hour a day with God, try spending 24 hours a day with Him. Because, you know what? Just walk in Him. You know, I'm walking down the hallway between meetings. I'm going to see Pastor Tom, and I'm walking back. And I'm just, you know what? You just breathe His presence. It's like, just breathe in. Breathe out. You see, you just do that very naturally. You breathe and breathe and breathe. Spiritually, the power of God is like breath. It's like it animates every part of your life. I just walk down the hall praying in the Spirit. I find being grateful especially keeps me in a conscious sense of God's presence. Look, constantly recognizing that He's there. Constantly thanking Him. Oh, thank You for the wisdom You gave me in that last meeting. And thank You what You did 2 weeks ago in church. And thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do tomorrow. And thank You for how You're helping me today. Thank You, Lord, by faith that Your presence is here. You know, I may not at times even feel. This is well beyond emotion. Sometimes I don't feel emotional. I don't even feel weird or out of touch. But there's the breath of God that you just walk in. Sometimes I just pray in the Spirit just all day, just constantly communing. I just know I have a friend who's closer than a brother. And it's Jesus. And He has given me His Spirit to literally, because He's made me, He's made my heart. My heart was made to breathe God's life. Because His Spirit is literally breath, spiritual breath. To breathe God's life. In Him we live and move and have our being, the Apostle Paul says. This is not spooky. It doesn't mean you feel tingles up your backbone all the time, but you do find the action of God constantly in your life and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's why I love that last verse of 2 Corinthians. I quote it often at the end of a service. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, He died for us so that instead of judgment, God would be gracious to us. And the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The word is koinonia. It's the same word to describe you having dinner with a great friend and just connecting hearts and walking away with that glow inside that you just connected with a dear friend and you just love that fellowship. The same word is applied to the Holy Spirit in our life. It's a relationship with God. His Spirit at koinonia, at fellowship with us. We breathe His life. This is more than, oh man, I missed my half hour this morning with God. You know, so I must be in big trouble. No, you start with 24 hours with God before you start with just 1 hour with God. As important it is to be alone with Him. But I'll tell you, even when you're not alone, you're always with Him and He's walking with you. That's what I love about the wind that came in. It said, oh God, thank You for the spiritual lungs You gave me just to fellowship with You and to breathe and to live in Your presence. How many would love just to live in God's presence day after day? You know, that's what it is, whether you feel it or not. But you do see the evidence of what He's doing. Appointments He's putting together you could never put together. Things He's bringing. An idea, not necessarily when you want to have it, but when you need it. You know, just God just permeating every part of your thinking, your being. This is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Secondly, fire. See, the first thing authentically spiritual people know is that we were given hearts, that we're made to breathe God's life. And then came the fire. And you're going, uh-oh, I can trust Him with a fan, but not with a flame. Let's see how we do. It says in the very next verse, this is the description of how they were all filled with the Spirit. First of all, this mighty wind comes in. Then the next verse, verse 3, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest in each one of them. Now, the wind filled the whole house. It was like that wind was like a hole. The issue of the fire was that this is not a hole. It was not one big bonfire they saw in the middle of the room. Rather, the emphasis is on the fact that the fire separated into individual flames, or we would call this a tongue of fire or a flame of fire, individual flames, and it sat on them. Often in the Bible, especially in the preceding years of the Old Testament history, they would know that the glory and presence of God was sometimes symbolized by fire. And that fire would descend upon the temple, the place of worship of God. And now this amazing thing happens, that the fire comes and sits on each one of them. They could see literally with their eyes like a fire, a tongue or a single flame of fire on top of everybody's head. The picture they would immediately begin to understand is that everything's changing now. Before, God had occasionally put His Spirit on about one in every 50 or 100,000 people, the odd prophet, priest, or king. But now, the fire of God is coming and finding residence is finding a home in every common person's life. See, this is what authentically spiritual people also believe, that our bodies were made to sanctuary God's presence. I'm going to hold it here in case I get wax on my almost bald head. That might be good for it, actually. You see, here's the amazing thing. Your body was designed. In fact, this is the greatest thing I could say about your body, as wonderful as most of your bodies look. Your body was designed to house the Holy Spirit. And we have a pet rabbit. His name is Titus, a biblical rabbit. And Titus, he's a male. Sometimes my girls just call him the boy. There's no other boy in our home. So this the boy, except me. I'm a grown-up boy. But he's the boy. And they hold him. He's actually an old man rabbit. He's about 8, 9 years old. But they love to hug him and cuddle him. My youngest daughter has him psychoanalyzed, can tell me on any given day what he's thinking and feeling and wants to do next. I don't get it. I kind of stay away from the boy most times, but I want to tell you about the boy. His body is not like ours for many reasons. And this main reason, that it was only human beings that when God created us out of the dust in Genesis, that he did divine CPR on us and breathed human life into us. And in doing so, he gave us the capacity to be spiritual. In other words, he gave us the capacity in our physical being to do something that my rabbit, Titus, can never do. And that is house the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just like the fire came down on the tabernacle, on the temple of old. Now God's fire comes and sits individual. The emphasis on the fire divided to be on each one. You are the temple of God. In fact, look what Paul writes right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God, and therefore you're not your own? See, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You see, this is the thing about this body that you have and I have. I don't know how impressed you are with your body. Most people don't think it's good enough. But I want to tell you, the reason we have healthy self-esteem about our bodies is not because we're a certain height and our noses are a certain shape. It's because our bodies are holy for this singular reason. They are designed to house the presence of the Holy Spirit. So wherever you trot this body this week, you are bringing God's presence into that office. You are bringing God's presence into that relationship. You are creating God's moments just because spiritual people, you see, understand that our bodies were made to sanctuary the presence of God. This radically changes the way I look at myself. I don't have to be impressed with my good looks or my not good looks. I don't have to be depressed about my lack of talent or my talent. This is completely irrelevant. This body that God has apparently given me has one purpose, and that's to sanctuary the presence of God. And that's to mean then that spirituality is not like only what I do when I'm in church. In fact, Paul, interestingly enough, when he says that, he's really talking about sexual immorality. He's saying, if this body is the house of the Holy Spirit, then we don't fornicate this body. We don't intoxicate this body. We don't abuse this body. We take care of this body and keep it pure and holy with God's help because we realize that it has been given the ultimate honor of becoming the temple for God's Spirit in the earth. And that means wherever I go, I'm God's person in that same place. I may not be attractive to a person. I may not be talented enough for another person. But the one thing I do know, I'm God's representative wherever I am. That's not an ego thing. That's just a fact. I don't just go to work. I'm sent to work by God every day as his representative because I sanctuary his presence. And therefore, I realize that spirituality has to do with the choices I make even with my body. And that people will eventually see something very holistic forming in my life. The way I take care of my body and my mind and my emotions. Because all of that has become a house for the Holy Spirit. And when the flame sits on every one of them, God was saying, I'm making you my home. I'm making, isn't that remarkable? That radically changes the way we view ourselves. And that makes irrelevant every bit of insecurity we have. He's made you his home. And so you're going to be bringing the presence of God to work tomorrow. Whether you feel that that's true or not, the fact is if God's Spirit is filling your heart, you're his temple, his house. But there's one last one. And they heard and wind, they saw fire, and then they uttered words. It says in the next verse, in verse 4 of Acts 2, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So the wind comes and they see tongues of fire on top of each. And it says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What that means was that God put words they had never learned before into their mouth. As we go on in the book of Acts, there are many people from other nations visiting who actually heard these relatively uneducated people speak perfectly and fluently the languages that they knew and spoke in other countries. I mean, it's miraculous. God put supernatural languages into their mouths. They actually spoke. Now I was thinking about words. There's wind, there's fire. The third physical phenomenon that happens is that they utter tangible, understandable words in languages they had never learned. The Spirit of God inspired those words, put syllables and words that they sensed inside and just spoke it out of them. It's amazing. So I was thinking about words. Aren't words amazing? This is the biggest dictionary I have. Not the only one, but the biggest one I have. It's Webster's New Universal Unabridged Dictionary. I'm not sure how many words are in this dictionary. There's a lot of them. But as of a month and a half ago, the Global Language Monitor organization estimated that as of December 20th, a month and a half ago of last year, there were 991,207 words in the English language. That's a lot of words. They say Shakespeare in his plays just made up 1,700 of those words. Just made up. That's what my secretary said. She was typing something I'd written. She said, Pastor, is that a word? I go, it is now. I love to just make up words. You ever do that? And they say, especially the blogosphere is constantly creating new words. Pretty soon the English language will be 1 million words. They say the French language is only 100,000 words. And the average college graduate only speaks 50,000 or 60,000 words in a full, what we would call educated vocabulary. But there's way more than 50,000 or 60,000 words in the English language. Aren't words amazing? The capacity we as human beings uniquely have to put thoughts and verbalize them or put them into symbols in written form and communicate tangible realities to other people. Because see, here's the third thing that authentically spiritual people understand. They're not spooky, they're not weird, they're not out of touch. They do understand that our hearts were made to breathe God's life, and they do understand that our bodies were made to sanctuary God's presence, but they also understand that our mouths were made to verbalize God's message. Can you imagine that? Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, if any of you speaks, he should speak, or she should speak, as if he or she were the very mouthpiece or oracle of God. That to me is absolutely staggering. But this is what the experience of Pentecost is all about. See, as I heard somebody say, the Pentecostal message, our message is not Pentecost, our message is Jesus. And he gives you supernatural capacity to speak about him, and to speak in consistency with what he would want to do in people's lives. Now, every other time people are filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, you don't see the wind, you don't see the fire. But you do have people speaking in this supernatural language, because it's like God reminds us of why he's given us his power. It's not to make you spooky. It's not to put a chill up your backbone. It has nothing to do with just stopping with your personal gratification. God forbid that being filled with the Spirit stops with our gratification. Filled with the Spirit is to make, in the widest sense of the word, every one of us prophets, every one of us mouthpieces of God. God wants to use some of you that way this morning. He wants you to greet somebody at the end of this service. And he wants you to say to them, maybe for the first time this week, they've heard the words, I appreciate you. And I'm so glad that you're here. We value you here. You add value to us. He wants to speak to you in life-giving ways like that. He wants to speak to you this week. Like my daughter, my junior in Kickapoo High School. She's been using her mouth and her love and influence to befriend a gal who doesn't know Jesus or didn't know Jesus. And so she invited her, and she came. See, when the Spirit of God, and when people were praying, and the Spirit of God's working, it was amazing what can happen. So she invited her friend to youth group last Wednesday night, a few days ago. And she got saved on Wednesday night. And this is what happens. God wants to use you. It's not because my youngest daughter is, more important than you or anybody else. Not that she's the President of the United States. Doesn't have to be. Just ordinary people being filled with the Spirit of God. And God says, I'm going to make you the mouthpiece of my message to the world. I'm going to give you words when you don't have them. You're going to step in. You're going to be a peacemaker in conflicts at work. And you're going to have wisdom. You don't know where it came from. And you're going to share Jesus with people. Normally they should laugh at you, because why should they believe that some guy lived 2,000 years ago, died for their sins, and rose again 3 days later? Why should they believe that? Except that God puts power into those words. And he knows how to help you communicate right into their lives. That's why I'm so excited about our catalog. And it's not near as thick as my dictionary, thank God. You can actually read through this one. But you know what? All this taboos out there. Because this puts you, we all of us, ministry teams and small groups where we're really connecting face to face with other people. And we share God-inspired words with one another, encourage one another, and work together to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. You can join ministry teams out there. You can join activity, small group activity and affinity and interest groups, all to connect you with people so that the very thing of Jesus, you will bring, because you're a temple of God, breathing God's life, you will bring the presence of God into those situations that other people need to be around so much. And God will use you to speak life into people's hearts. That's why this third evidence of speaking other tongues is so normative with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he wants to make you his mouthpiece in the world. He wants to make us as a church in the city of Springfield, the people who say, he's not going to shout it from heaven all by himself. He's going to say it through us, because he's put his Spirit in us, that Jesus loves our city. Jesus loves every person, and he wants a relationship with them. So I want to invite you to stand with me, please. We've seen wind, fire, and words, and all of this is what it really means to be spiritual. And if you're comfortable, I'd like to just invite you to put your hands out in front of you, just like this, if you're receiving from the Lord. And I just want, I'm believing for a miracle to happen just in this moment, that God's going to answer this prayer. It's a prayer that I pray for myself more than any other single prayer. And trusting as the days and months and years go on in my life, the Lord will answer it in just profound way. I just, by faith, already receive the answer to this prayer. But Father, we pray that you will fill us with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll fill me more and more with your Spirit. That your presence will be all about my life. I'll be led by your Spirit. I'll breathe your very life in fellowship with you all day. That I'll bring the presence of God to every place my body goes. And that, Lord, my mouth will become your mouthpiece. That, Lord, you use me while there's time. My God, I pray you'll fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit this morning. And I pray you'll fill every person in this room with the Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you and we love you. I want you to begin to praise him now for that. By faith, Lord, we believe you who give good gifts, you want to give the gift of the Spirit to us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gift of your power. No matter who we are, the gift of your Spirit to come in and to make us breathe and make us live and make us speak with your grace. Help us, Lord, today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Just we receive today. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just receive all over this auditorium, whether you're young, whether you're old, it doesn't matter. Just receive the Spirit of God. Whether you think yourself spiritual or not, receive the Spirit of God today. That's all you need. Just his Spirit coming in, beginning to work wonders in your life as you breathe his presence moment by moment. Alabasia. My God, thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.